On the line, Brendan Coates, Economic Policy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. Brendan's been doing the maths and modelling on the targets we need to reach so that life can get back to normal. The Doherty Institute's doing the same. That goes to the National Cabinet today. The Prime Minister told me he had those figures yesterday. He wasn't willing to tell us what they were. Brendan Coates, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Okay, what's your estimate? What do we need?
In short, Neil, we need to get 80% of Australians vaccinated. So that's 80% of the whole population. And that's our best chance of being able to reopen safely and move beyond lockdowns and border closures.
That's 80% of the eligible population?
Or 80%? No, that's 80% of everyone. The challenge here, of course, is that kids, even though they don't tend to get particularly sick with COVID, they do spread it. And so, you know, if you need some essentially that kind of level of vaccination across the community so that COVID won't spread, the constraint here really is going to be the hospital system, because if you have a lot of people who are unvaccinated and we relax our approach, then what you'll find is that you'll have a wave of infections that run through the hospitals. And a COVID vaccine is a great thing and encourage everyone to get it, but it doesn't help you if you have a heart attack and there's no hospital bed for you.
Peter Doherty made that point, and I raised it with the Prime Minister yesterday as well, that Peter Doherty said you would expect an epidemic of COVID through unvaccinated people once we reopen. And you're quite right, that could grind the hospitals out.
That's right. And so what would happen in our view is probably you wouldn't see the epidemic come through all the way through, because what would happen is governments would probably be forced to lock us back down again. You know, this is kind of what's happened in the UK and elsewhere over the course of the last 18 months. If you let COVID cases get to a high level and then it's starting to stress the hospital system, you end up locking down. And what we see in Sydney now is it's very hard to get those numbers down. So that's why we recommend getting to 80%, pushing as hard as we possibly can to get there as fast as we can. Is opening earlier than that, that's the risk, is that you end up with longer lockdowns rather than less.
It's a big ask, 80% though. Do you think it's achievable?
It is achievable. It is a big ask though, and we're very well aware of that. So if you look at the surveys about, you know, how Australians feel about getting vaccinated, basically there's only about 10% of the population that you'd probably describe as being pretty stridently anti the vaccine. 90% of people say that they will take it. It's just that they're about a quarter saying, look, we'll only take it, just not right now, like I'm not going to get around to it yet, I'm not sure. And what we really need to do is to move that group from the column of being unsure or not going to get it now into getting it as soon as possible, and then we can hit these targets.
So how do we do that? That's part of, I'm just criticising the government's rollout and their strategy to sell it earlier. How do we do it? How do we get a message through to people, look, you've got to do it for these reasons, it's wise to do it for these reasons. How do you convince people?
Well, up until now, the problem's been supplies. We all know, and that's clearly been a failing of the Commonwealth government. But from October onwards, we will have a lot of supplies are coming into the country. And by the end of the year, we'll have more than enough vaccines to fully vaccinate everyone to the level that we recommend. So obviously, part of it is about a better public communications campaign, which the government, the sense is, have been reluctant to do that until the supply isn't a constraint.
Yep.
But we think we should go further. You know, anything that is going to raise that vaccination rate has got a huge return on the investment. So, you know, doing Vaxlotto, but essentially having this $10 million a week vaccine lottery for anyone who's been vaccinated starting in November and running through to the end of the year. But, you know, we should also be thinking about other incentives as well. So one of the ones we canvassed in the report is, you know, vaccine passports. As one of your callers mentioned before, should they be allowed to check that someone is vaccinated before they're into their premises? You know, our view is that once everyone's got access to the vaccine, if they haven't got vaccinated, then say from 1 January next year, you do bring in domestic passports until we get that vaccination rate up. So you do need to be vaccinated.
So if I'm running the local bakery, I'm entitled, under that system, I'm entitled to say somebody, show us your proof of vaccination or you can't come in.
For certain things. So essentially anything where there's a high risk of spread, so bars, restaurants, public events, the footy, music festivals and the like, we would support that happening, because the alternative is a lot of coercion anyway. The alternative is we are all literally locked in our homes and we can't be held hostage to that in perpetuity. So we need to get that vaccination rate up as soon as we can.
A couple of other things I'm keen on. One is vaccination in the offices. In every office I've been in for donkey's years, they bring people in and you get vaccinated for the flu if you want to. Why can't we do that with COVID? I know Coles is saying they want to do it. Well, we're not.
Well, they're not at the moment because supply is the problem, because the problem is we literally don't have enough vaccines to accelerate the rollout. From October onwards, we will. And so we need to throw the kitchen sink at it basically from that point, Neil.
And the same thing is in regions. They can't get it. I mean, all right, they can drive to Melbourne for 4 hours and get it, but if they can't get it in regional areas, once it's available, we should have a hub in every regional city, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we absolutely should. And this is actually probably a point where the states take charge of the vaccine rollout because, you know, the states are normally the ones that do the vaccination programs. We know that these big vaccine hubs that are taking place in Melbourne and Sydney at the moment can vaccinate a lot of people quickly. And in fact, you know, this might be an opportunity for some healthy competitive federalism. So up until now, we haven't had great competitive federalism on COVID. But from now on, if a state government gets to 80% before the others, it can reopen, irrespective of where the rest of the country's at. And that's an incredible incentive for any premier.
Okay, and what are your figures again? 80% of the overall population, what about the age breakdown?
Yeah, 95% of over 70s, that's the other really critical part. Because obviously, if you have even a small share of the of over 70s being unvaccinated, you know, the risk of people dying from COVID is quite high in that age group, and it will run through those communities.
Really, what about quickly. Kids?
At the moment, we 12 to 16-year-olds can get the Pfizer vaccine that's been approved by the TGA. So we think we can get there by Christmas if we get a vaccine available for 2 to 12-year-olds. Now, they're going through stage 2 and stage 3 trials in the US. We expect that they'll probably end up getting an approval in the US in the coming months. The challenge will be if we don't get that vaccine for 2 to 12s in Australia before the end of the year, then we're probably looking at March rather than Christmas to hit that 80% target.
Okay, thank you very much. Brendan Coates, Economic Policy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. So would that convince you to get out there and do it? If you're still reluctant, still hesitant, why?